In addition to the kids, if there are any youth, 5th grade through 12th grade, that want to go to youth small group, we want to dismiss them at this time as well. Now I'll hand it over to Pastor Jameson for the sermon.
The youth small group sounds great. Can I go? Or all right. Awesome. Well, welcome to a week of ecstasy and agony. I think there's been more prayer requests in the last 48 to 96 hours as people have prayed mercilessly over that which they value the most. And also, it's Holy Week and Easter. It is amazing to me that March Madness and Holy Week have lined up, is it not? Maybe as your team has been asked to go venture elsewhere this week, to seek pursuits other ways, you really understand the passion and the agony that comes from this whole idea that we are people who are called to live into this story, which is a little hard because Easter to us is a season of celebration. And yet Holy Week is the complete cycle, really, of living life, which is the reality that there are ups and downs, and the culmination that there is Christian hope. But we know that valley in between is an interesting one, to say the least. And that we find ourselves each Easter perhaps in different parts of this journey in our own lives. And I love this crossover with the sermon series of what are these questions that Jesus asked of those that engaged with him. And how does that tie into the narrative of Easter? Today we're specifically focused on what are you looking for? Or perhaps for you English majors out there, for what are you looking? I don't know, I don't start any debates over that just yet. But I'm also reminded, because we're having an egg hunt today, and when I was a young preacher and, you know, I was full of energy and vigor, I thought it would be fun to do the Easter egg hunt as well. Now, you're probably already thinking, okay, Jameson, how young were you? I'm like, I was the ripe old age of 25, and I thought that, you know, being as young as I am, I would fit in well with the 3 through 5-year-olds. You know, there was no height differential or weight differential there. What could possibly go wrong? So I showed up on one Easter egg hunting morning, and I brought my basket, the very same basket that my two boys will use today, the basket I had grown up with, the basket of my youth, the basket that had had so many eggs put into it throughout my life. And I lined up with all of my equally sized friends on that line, and they called us, and we went. And as I was skipping merrily through the fields of College Station, Texas, looking for eggs to pick up, one specific egg caught my eye. A gorgeous, limited edition Star Wars Yoda egg was perched perfectly on this tuft of grass. It was as if the Lord had picked it out for me. I looked at it, I saw it, I locked on, tractor beams, if you will, whatever Star Wars references you're comfortable with, and I went towards it, and the strangest thing happened. We had a physics class all of a sudden break out, a little Newtonian mechanics, because as I reached down to grab this egg, I felt a thump on my right leg. And I hear a scream from one of the parents say, "Did Jameson just take out that kid?" And I look behind me, and there is a toddler now on the ground, disheveled, eggs everywhere. I'd like to point out I was run into. I did not run into them, but anyways, that's not the most interesting question. The most interesting question in my mind as I was still halfway perched, reaching for that egg was, is it wrong if I still pick this up? I mean, it's a cool Yoda egg, right? No, obviously it was bad. I helped the child pick up all the eggs. I offered her the Yoda egg, thinking she wouldn't take it. She absolutely took it and enjoyed it. And so the next year, as I'm preparing for the egg hunt, I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to put those backup lights that 18-wheelers have on myself, so in case when I'm moving around, people can hear me. No. I got to the egg hunt, you know, after a wonderful park outing and lunch, and someone said, okay, well, after last year's mishaps, Pastor Jameson is going to go first, because we don't want to risk life or limb to any other children. I know what you're thinking. Flattered, right? I was so flattered that I got to have my own egg hunting time. It was great, and I still look back on that now, 12 years later, and laugh about that time I took out a kid for a Yoda egg, right? Sorry, let me back up. The kid ran into me as I was reaching for a Yoda egg, all right? So what's going on there? It's so easy when you walk onto something to kind of forget the rest of your surroundings, right? To forget perhaps that you should, You're a pastor that shouldn't have been with the toddlers to begin with as you're reaching for Easter eggs. And what's amazing about all of that to me is that our vision, literally what we're focused on, sometimes often tracks so readily with what we're focused on in life. And I don't mean this in a really insidious way. It's just real easy to get focused on something, to put your head down, to hear that narrative, you know, nose to the grindstone, to really focus on these things you need to get done, and you look up. Has anyone ever had this experience? You're like, well, I'm going to work on this work project, or I'm going to work on this family project, or I'm going to start on whatever your home renovation project is, and you think this will only take a little bit of time. It's like the classic, I'm going to remodel my kitchen. It'll be so easy, right? No. No. Once you start that, you're in neck deep. 5 months later, you're wondering why you started this and why God has afflicted you with this curse, right? That it's amazing what happens, but you focus on this task, and everything else kind of fades away, and you look up, and you maybe you have had this before, but you almost feel like you have to rebalance your life a little to say, okay, have I been focused on the right things? It's not to be derogatory to what you've been doing, but it's to highlight that we as human beings have this propensity to look for something, and we latch on, and we can get distracted, and maybe it takes someone calling out in our own lives, like that wonderful children's counselor called out in my life, hey, if you're mowing down small people in a field on a Palm Sunday morning, maybe it's time to change your focus, Pastor Jameson. So may this sermon for you be a helpful voice saying, hey, if you feel stressed and anxious, if you feel like life's priorities are out of whack, may you receive this as a call to say, can I look up for just a moment and say, what matters to me? How do I bring that back to the forefront? How do I focus? How do I answer a simple question like, what am I looking for? Because that's exactly what's going on with Jesus and John the Baptist and John's disciples. And some of them will become Jesus' disciples. They're just walking. And all of a sudden, John looks up and says, hey, casual Sunday, that's Joe Montana. No, that's Jesus Christ living his best life. And the disciples say, really? And they walk up to Jesus, and Jesus asks them, hey, what do you guys want? What are you looking for? And they say, well, we want to know where you're staying. The implication being, we want to go with you. We want to draw near to you. We want to be with you. And I'm going to make an interesting claim here. This is one of the most surprisingly relevant pieces of scripture in all of John, which I'll get to in just a second, because one of the people involved is Andrew. And who does Andrew go and get? His brother Simon, who we know better as Peter. Think about this. Peter, the very rock that the church supposedly is built upon, this concept of a disciple, when a lot of us think about the great disciples, we think Peter. Peter's invitation into the life of faith is an observation from John the Baptist made by his brother with a follow-up conversation with Jesus, and then his brother goes and gets him and says, hey, by the way, we found this guy. You should come check him out. That feels like that game where you try to connect everyone to Kevin Bacon, you know? Isn't that amazing to you? That Peter, this person that will be a pillar of the community, if you know anything about the Catholic Church, we look at that relationship that Peter had with Jesus Christ, and we think that's the foundation of what we know as Christianity. For us that are no longer maybe practicing the Catholic faith, we still recognize St. Peter as one of those great godly leaders of the early church. We can't imagine early Christianity without him. It blows my mind that Peter is minding his own business as Simon. And Andrew comes and says, hey, we found this person. I got to imagine, how does that brotherly conversation go? I'm going to role play for a little bit. Hey, yeah, my bro's Pastor Daniel. And Pastor Daniel's like, hey, we found this new guy, Jesus. And I'm like, aren't you already following John the Baptist? Don't you already have someone you're following? I'm like, no, but this new guy is even better. I was like, hey, is this an infomercial? What's going on here? Why are you changing the leaders you're following? But is there something in Pastor Daniel's voice? Perhaps there's something in Andrew's voice where Peter says, I need to listen. It's as if he had that voice call out from his focus to say, hey, what's going on in your life? Because this is about to change your life. Peter goes and the rest of John's gospel happens. I find that so amazing, that sometimes in the work of Christ, it's these subtle innocuous conversations that have such far-reaching results. I think one of the things that we can get into our heads is that we think, all right, I am waiting for the Palm Sunday celebration. If there was a giant ticker tape parade for Jesus Christ, I would show up and I would be there when God comes down on the cloud to return and the book of Revelation is ushered in. I mean, we're gonna have a lot of questions about the book of Revelation, but the point is I'm gonna be there to celebrate. But it's loud, it's big. And we all think if it's loud and big, how could I possibly miss it? But I think what we see in scripture is it's these softer, more subtle moments we actually run a bigger risk of missing. Because it's in these softer, more subtle moments we realize, oh my gosh, God is speaking to me in a new and a powerful way. God is calling me to get more active in church. If you've ever met a pastor, which I hope you have, you hear us talk about it. God's called us in a subtle way, perhaps, to go into a life of ministry. Maybe you've been away from the church for a while and you've heard this soft invitation, come back, explore, see. I want to take a moment to reflect on an amazing community maybe you've heard of. It's this community that I know that I'm a huge fan of ever since I arrived almost 2 years ago. And they had this crazy idea that they were going to reach out from a Chapel Hill church and they're going to reach out in new ways in Durham. I don't know if you know this, but the Chapel Hill-Durham divide is highlighted this week, is it not? There are tensions that exist between certain academic institutions, shall we say, and so people in Chapel Hill may look at people in Durham and say, perhaps these two beams should not cross, but yet there were people who said, no, there is enough grace of God that even Blue Devils and Tar Heels may come together to the same communion table. Am I right? I'm not even going to bring up the Wolfpack because I don't want him to cheer too loudly after last night, but the point is, this community said, we're going to go out and do something because God's calling us. And then a pandemic happened. Don't know about you, but if I had to pick the fertile ground of church planning, I would not have picked my brother in Christ's trajectory of saying, you know what? Let's put it on hard mode for a little bit. Let's start let's enter into this pandemic and let's do it. Let's start completely online, pretty much. Let's do that for a number of years. But something amazing happened. Because this community was listening to God's call in their lives, because the community was saying, no, this is like Andrew, to something in Andrew's voice saying it to Simon, who would become Peter. This is still something we're going to do, so we continue to launch. And we wind up in the old Carmike, now the AMC Classic. And by this point, you know I'm talking about Kindred, obviously. And what's amazing to me is the first time that I was introduced to you guys, I went to that movie theater and I was talking to Pastor Daniel and he said, hey, we meet at the AMC Classic. And I said, the AMC Classic, where is that? And he said, oh, it's over in MLK. I'm like, do you mean the old Carmike? And he's like, yeah, do you know it? I'm like, in seminary, they had the best movie special. For $5, you could get a drink, a popcorn, and a ticket. It was amazing. Every Tuesday, I was there. What theater are we in? And he told me the number. I'm like, you know how many movies I have seen in that theater? And so it was mind-blowing for me, as now a seminary graduate who'd been working in ministry, to walk into that theater and say, when I was 24 years old, rushing over here to save as much money as I could on sugary beverages, never did I think that in this very movie theater room where I saw some of the, we'll call them lesser-known works of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, would I think that a community would be born. How incredible is that? And so we have traction and momentum, and we're going somewhere, right? Kendra's getting all this excitement, and all of a sudden, the craziest thing happens. The mega corporation of AMC looks at AMC Classic and says, you know what? We don't like the profit loss here. I think we're going to shut this down, and we're going to encourage you, almost like a team that gets kicked out in the round of 64, to go find somewhere else to practice. And AMC was gracious and loving through the whole process, but Pastor Daniel and I suddenly found ourselves last semester saying, okay, we have 4 to 8 weeks-ish. What are we going to do? So the search began. What do we go to? You know, do we try to find some other great venue? Do we try to just find the same locale? Do we go to schools? You know, I'm familiar with schools because a lot of times churches start schools, all this wrestling, and all of a sudden, I feel like this is the soft whisper of Christ. And maybe you've heard Pastor Daniel tell this story because afterwards it blew my mind. He told me, I just went ahead and called Lions Farm. And I said, isn't that the school that you specifically said we couldn't rent, wasn't open, wasn't available, even though it was in a prime location, like there's no way it would work? He said, yeah, I just, you know, called the principal. And the principal answered on that day. And that started a conversation where we're here. Think about this, folks. Think about the trajectory. Much like John the Baptist saying, hey, that's Messiah. His disciples saying, oh my gosh, we should go see where he's staying. That brother going to find his brother who would become Peter. Think about what's happening. We're saying we're going to start a community. Nope, we're going to hit a pandemic. All right, we're going to go to a movie theater. Wait, nope, now we're going to go to a school that's not even on the market that you can't even get. But the reason it's going to work is because we just called and someone answered and listened and said, that's actually exactly what I want this school, this place to be about. That's an incredible story to me. I don't know if it's appropriate to give yourselves a round of applause, but I will applaud you simply because that is inspiring. I want to be at the next church planner's workshop to listen to someone's wildest tale of how they got started. I want to raise my hand and say, on behalf of Kindred Church, part of the family of churches of University UMC, I can raise you one better, my good sir or madam. It's incredible what's going on here. It's incredible the growth that's happening. It's incredible that we get to celebrate Palm Sunday in this space. Why? Because I think somewhere deep down in a lot of us who have been here a long time, or perhaps this is your first time, you're experiencing something lining up with what you've actually been looking for. We are wired to look for something, but as Christians, we say we're wired to look for God and the people of God. Church, to me, is the best example of how we're supposed to operate. Yes, church is one part me coming, me worshiping, me being filled up, me being full. But church is also looking around this room. Church is also my son desperately pleading with me to know when Caleb will be here so they can play and wave palms. Church is people being excited about donuts and coffee or being excited about work. Church is all the faces you see and look forward to seeing. Church is that feeling that when you wake up and you're looking for something, you realize, I want to go, not because I feel ashamed, not because the clergy are going to show up at my house and say, hey, we've been keeping attendance. Your ratio's a little low this month. It's because I want to see those people and those people want to see me. There's something life-giving going on here. And all the ways in which Lent can be a difficult season, this Sunday feels like a Sunday for hope and celebration. This week will be tough. The calendar in the life of the church goes to Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday. Once again, Pastor Daniel and I will have to go into the basement at University of UMC and 150 East Franklin and lift high the actual wooden cross from the depths of the cellar to carry it all the way upstairs to then carry it out of the Good Friday to plant it in the yard. I'm really thankful you've been working out because I've been slacking off, so I'm going to need your broad shoulders. And as I think about that, I think the reason we're able to meet the hard days, like a Good Friday service, is because of the hope-filled days like today. Because we know that Christ is good. We know that the work of God is still good. We know that places like Kindred Church matter. They matter in a real way because they connect with people and say, yes, we believe in a God that calls you, that calls me, that calls us to be the kind of place that people want to come and belong. So what are we looking for? I think we're looking for one another, and we're looking for one another in a community that's bound together by the grace and love of Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? God, we hear in this passage something a little unusual. Simple observations, simple conversations, and yet they have deep ramifications. Let us not fall into the temptation that everything has to be loud and grandiose. That in fact, in the subtleties of our lives, as we look around us, there are opportunities to see you and your people, there are opportunities to experience grace and to give grace. There are opportunities to receive hope in the midst of needed healing and to speak comfort into the lives of those who may feel lost and apart. God, may we be a space so full of you that we attract those who are desperately looking for something. And even if they don't quite have the language yet, even if it seems scary, even if it feels like this church, really, for me, may we be a place that lowers the anxiety, raises the relationship, and truly connects with everyone that walks through that door, with everyone who's present, and for the prayers for those who are yet to come. Lord, it's for that I pray. Amen.